This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room, and we are talking about hacking and the whole issue around hacking. First of all, are we vulnerable to being hacked, and can we utilize hacking technologies to move the gospel and to spread the gospel to the ends of the world, to follow the vocation Jesus has given us, to preach the gospel to all creation until he comes back? And the answer is very clearly, yes, we can. And yes, there is a big danger. The danger is that the powers to be use hacking technologies to try and, catch us out in something which I think today the biggie is hate speech. If you make an exclusive claim, you don't go along with the ecumenical, that's it, ecumenical movement, which means, you know, we put all the churches together, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Orthodox and non-Orthodox, the liberals and the extremes, the Catholic and the Protestants and the Hindus and the Buddhists and the atheists and those who don't have any faith whatsoever. We put them all together into one box, yeah, and we call it the new church. We call it the ecumenical movement, and I got it right now. Okay, ecumenical movement, and we are all happy together because we all love one another. And the Catholic Church has had this recent advert, you know, called "Damur," love. Yeah, that's all what we want. And truth is relative anyway, you know, and God loves us all, so we can do whatever we want, and we will be all happy, one big happy family. But what does the Bible say? The Bible's got a very different message. The Bible says there's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. There's no other way to God. There's not even a church, it's not even Christianity, it's not even your evangelical, Baptist, charismatic, Pentecostal church that can get you to heaven, but it's just one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said it very clearly that no one comes to God, no one comes to the Father except through him, and that he is the way, the life, and the truth. And again, at that point, it's very exclusive. When I go to anybody else who rejects this message Jesus has brought, I don't need to hate them. I don't need to give them a hard time. I don't need to go to war with them or anything like that. But what I need to do is I need to tell them, and I need to say, my friend, you're on your way to hell, and you need to turn around. You can accept what I say, you can reject what I say. That is up to you. But my job is to let you know that there is a way to God, and this way is Jesus Christ. And you need to repent. You have got a sin problem. This sin problem is really serious in your life. It is so serious that it's going to kill you forever, eternally, and it's killing you right now. And you need to deal with the sin problem. And the only way to deal with this is not through anything you can do other than to receive the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ, to put your trust in somebody else having paid for the sin you have committed, for the penalty, borne the penalty you deserve. And if you can accept this, and if you can take this truth and make it your own, then you can have a new start, and you can have a new start with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can start and have a new beginning. Okay, back to hacking, and that's really what we are talking about in this war room session. We were talking about that again. If you have missed the first episode of this, it's and I need to check it out on my little list here. It's going to be talk 187, I think. It's 187, yeah. And you can find this at christianwarroom.com, christianwarroom.com. All the talks are uploaded there, and you can find this hacking, the first part of the hacking talk. So I would encourage you to go there and check it out. So we had a look at, the different stuff and the dangers we've got today. And one of the biggest dangers is using a smartphone where you just upload an app, or it's only done discreetly. I think somebody who is technical, all they need is they just need a couple of seconds with your smartphone, and they can install an app. And you don't realize that it's being done. You just leave it on a shelf somewhere, or somebody enters your home, Secret Service or whatever. They get hold of your equipment, and they install a small app, and at that point, they can listen to everything you say. They can you know, watch through the camera anything that's going on. They can track all your movements. They know where you are at any one time, and they know this anyway if they've got a court order, and they can sort of track you down. So you have to be very, very careful in how you use your digital equipment and, you know, whether you keep it on all the time or you don't or whatever you're doing. So I'm just looking at the stuff we talked about it before, the stuff we still need to cover. The main point is we can use the internet. We can use the internet to preach the gospel. We can use social media to preach the gospel, and we can reach out to people which otherwise we could never reach. There are a couple of problems. There's a lot of stuff on the internet. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of bad stuff on the internet. There's a lot of bad gospel proclamation on the internet. There are a lot of false brethren. And when we look in the New Testament, Paul was concerned about this in almost every letter he was writing. I think the only one where he didn't cover this subject was Philemon and to some extent Hebrews. Yeah. Every other letter, there was an issue about false brethren, false doctrine, people pretending to be him and sending letters all over the place, and things like that were going on. And so we've got the same problem today and again, it's a strategy from the enemy. You know, what is the enemy going to do? He's going into the field, you know, where good seed is being sown, and he throws out a lot of weeds. And you get a lot of fake Christians who do a lot of crazy stuff, and they give us a bad reputation. And it's the same on the internet as well. You get a lot of people who are very, very strange, yeah, who, when you see what these, and Jesus says very clearly, he says, look, it's going to happen anyway. Don't worry about it. It's happening. But watch out. Make sure you don't get deceived. You know, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. We hear this again and again. We hear this in Matthew. And again, it's a theme in the New Testament. Don't be deceived. You know, try and stay faithful to true doctrine, to what Jesus is saying, to what the New Testament is saying. And that is very important. And we find this on the internet as well. There are tons of people out there, or Christian media as such, who are, I would say, obviously, you know, the weeds that have been thrown on the good field. The enemy has planted them, and they've risen up, and everybody can see them, and they are marvelous, great people. And Jesus said one interesting thing is, and he said, you will know them by their fruit. You will know them by their fruit. And it's interesting as well. We know about fruit in Galatians chapter 5. And now look at these people. And what you find is very often you find that these people, they are very arrogant. They're very aloof. They don't have compassion. They are devoid of compassion about the poor. They don't really care. They just care about themselves. And it's interesting as well. And I've studied. I was at one stage into all these cults, and I got mixed up with a cult, unbeknown to me. And I learned an awful lot. And with hindsight, I can see God used this opportunity to teach me how dangerous and how bad these cults are. You know, they're pretty much like slave machines. They come up and they preach some sort of gospel. They've got some sort of spiritual, supernatural manifestation in there. When I was in there, I was just in one instance. Again, it's very subjective. You can take it or leave it. But I was once praying, and I said, you know, Lord, is this you? Is this the Holy Spirit? Or what is going on here? And as I was praying, I felt God telling me that it's a bit of both. There's the presence of the Holy Spirit, and there are genuine people there, you know, who believe the Lord Jesus Christ, who love them with all their heart, all their mind, and all their soul, who love their God. But there's also something else going on there. And there's a false spirit right there as well. And I think there was, I mean, I don't know, with hindsight, I think there was a bit of a battle going on. But and I met people within this group, which I'm sure they were genuine Christians. They were sincere, maybe sincerely deceived and sincerely led astray, but they were sincere. They loved the Lord. And I also met people where I had great doubts, and I thought for them it's just a power game. It's just a game to become something where there were nothing before. Anyway, we've got this warning in the New Testament, and it's all over. And we see this on the internet as well. And there's tons of this stuff out there. There are tons of fake bad stuff out there. So it's important for us to rise up to the challenge, you know, and to start preaching the gospel. And start preaching the gospel. It doesn't have to be the minister at the front of the church, but you can do it yourself. If you are the little church mouse, you know, living somewhere in the hole, and you know, picking up a bit of cheese that gets dropped down every now and then, yeah, the little church mouse can be the greatest preacher. in these days, and modern technology makes it possible. And you should rise up to the challenge. You should just say, okay, I'm going to take it on. Lord, what can I do? How can I use this technology to try and get the gospel to people I may not even know of, I may never have heard of? What can I do? How can I get this gospel across? Okay, and again, we're talking about hacking here. So one of the things I want to talk about is Google hacking. And again, I want to encourage you to just Google hacking. And it sounds really bad. It sounds like, oh, hack Google, you know, I'm going to be in prison or whatever. All it means is just intelligent searching. So if you look for information, you, for example, you look for the church fathers, yeah. And what will happen is inevitably you will get, a million hits about the church fathers. But if you look for something specific, you can use certain exclamation mark and commas. You can use brackets and so on. And you can narrow the church very, very narrowly, you know, very tightly. And you can get what you're looking for. Yeah. So that can be very, very useful. So for example, if you are targeting, you know, for example, today you wake up and you say, okay, I'm going to rise to the challenge, and you pray about it. Yeah. And you look on the world map and you see this little country somewhere in the corner. And you want to find out about this country. So you might go to Operation World, which is statistical summary. I think there are about 230 nations in the world. And it's a very good work. Somebody got together and he was just looking at the world. What's going on in the world? What about Christianity? The issues in every country. And they compiled all this information. You've got this book, Operation World. And you can look at it online and you can just go through it. And you can retrieve the information and start building a strategy of reaching out. So that might be one thing you can do online. So you Google for Operation World, then you get this this book, then you Google for the country, or you go onto the book, you look at the country, you get all the information. Once you've got the information, you can then possibly use Google hacking to zoom down, to get more information about this country, to see and to think about how you can reach out to maybe a group God has placed upon your heart, and then maybe spend a day, a week, a month, a year to focus and pray for this nation and to, you know, maybe if there's no Bible translation, to try and to work out the language and work in that area that you can put some Bible translation there. To create a website to reach out to these people, to let them know that there is, you know, that you are here to help them and, you know, to guide them in their faith or whatever it may be. But again, you can use this. So Google hacking is not, you know, quite as bad as what it sounds like, but it's just very intelligent searches. And you do this by using keywords, by using exclamation mark, commas, minus signs, plus signs, brackets. I used to teach on this ages ago. I forgot most of it. But again, you can Google hacking. Yeah, just put a search in for that, and you will get all these, tools to do a very intelligent search. Also, bear in mind that Google has got on their banner, it's written on their banner, be good, you know, not to abuse data, to be fair, freedom of speech and all that. It all seems to go a little bit by the wayside as time goes on. And some people make the suggestion that there's a left-wing bias, and it might just, you know, not be the organization, might just be people working in there. And so that certain searches will always direct you in a certain line. There are other search engines as well. There's one called DuckDuckGo. It might be worthwhile to use that. And then what about all the old search engines, which we used to have, like Lycos, Yahoo, Bing, and others? Yeah. So it might be worthwhile, you know, when you try and, you know, work on a project and you try to get information, to use a variety of search engines, to not just rely on the biggest one, the biggest player, but to use other smaller search engines as well to see what the results are. And you may be surprised that the results are quite different. Okay, I talked about encryption a little bit. I want to talk about it a little bit more. We are talking about hacking. We are talking about, last time I talked about raids. You know, people, they say you're doing something which is politically incorrect, or they accuse you of hate speech. And you might not have done anything of the like, but the accusation is enough of it. Yeah, so they can shut you down. Again, IT equipment is very cheap. Data is very important and very expensive. So what I would suggest for you to do is, and I think I've made this point before, to have ways and means to back up all your data, and maybe do this every couple of months, back up all your data and don't keep it in your house, keep it somewhere else. So if they get a warrant, a search order, and somebody accuses you of hate speech because you engage in a debate with Islam and you make the point that Christianity says this, Islam says that, and you know, you have to make a decision. Either Jesus was right or Muhammad was right. But then you can point out all the stuff Muhammad has done. Yeah, and you don't even need to say anything derogative. You just need to quote their own sources. But very often, if you do this, the other side gets upset. They go and get the police on you. The police hasn't got a clue what to do. So the next stage is, oh, yeah, it must be hate speech. They confiscate all your equipment. If it comes to court and can make your case, it may all be dismissed, and you will get your equipment back and everything else. But in the meantime, you're going to be in turmoil because you don't know whether you're going to end up in prison, or you don't have your IT equipment, and everything will be gone. So there are a couple of things you can do to try and protect yourself. So all the data which you have on your machine, I would suggest to you that you encrypt it. Now, via court order, they can force you, in some countries they can force you to surrender your password to do the encryption bit, to crack the encryption. And if you don't do this, they can hold you in contempt of court. But there are other ways as well. You can hide data inside data. You can have a video film and you can hide data in there. It's called steganography. It's all part of hacking. But there are ways how you can protect yourself to try and just make it difficult for them. Whenever, I mean, I once worked on steganography. I used to teach ethical hacking. So I was teaching people to protect IT systems the way hackers would get into their system. So I was looking at that. It's just sort of trying to make them think and to open their eyes and sort of to have a 330-degree approach rather than just a 90-degree approach or something. And I was working with steganography tools, and it was interesting as well. I had, you know, both, you know, steganography to do it, where you take data, you shoot it inside a file, and the data just disappears inside the file. And then I had other tools as well to try and detect stego. And the detection tools very often didn't catch whatever was put in there. So that's very, very interesting. So there are a lot of ways to look at. And again, if you're interested, please, you know, get in touch. You can do this on the BPN website. I think there's some means so you can get in touch. If not, they'll soon be there. Get in touch. And we can sort of have a show maybe here on BPN Radio, sort of going a little bit more into this technology and trying to coach you through of what is there. At the moment, all I want to do is just tell you the options you have got and then leave it to you to research it yourself. Encryption, again, very important as well. And again, what I encourage you to do is take your data, put it on a USB stick or some storage format and hide it. Hide it somewhere else. And I think I made the point before, you know, case real persecution kicks in. How can you protect yourself? And a lot of stuff has been going on in North Korea where if somebody is suspected of having a Bible, they search the whole area, so the whole house. And one of the things you can do is you can just bury it somewhere. Bury your USB stick somewhere. You know, don't put it on any premises because if it's on other premises, they don't have a legal right to search there. If the court order is just for you. So there's one way how you can protect yourself. And again, your equipment is gone. You can't do anything, but you can get a laptop the next day and you can carry on, you know, reaching out to this one nation where you feel God has called you to and you know, carry on with the data you have. So it's very important. Yeah, very important. You can leave it in the cloud as well, but bear in mind, once they've got your equipment, they might get access to cloud storage, that storage somewhere on the internet. Especially if it's not password protected, or they might force you to surrender the passwords. And if you don't surrender them, you might go to prison straight away and, you know, being in contempt of court or something. So you have to be very careful in what you do and very wise as well. And again, we're just we're not encouraging you to do anything illegal, but what we're encouraging you to do is to protect yourself, protect your assets. And data is one of your assets. And, you know, to make sure that, you know, even, you know, if somebody shouts, somebody accuses you of something, and it's going to happen. It will happen. They will accuse you of stuff, and that is going to disrupt whatever you try to do. And so make sure you can deal with this disruption. Think about Paul. It seems when you read the book of Acts that Paul spent more time in prison than outside prison. I'm not quite sure whether it is the case, but it seems like it. And yet, you know, some of the greatest things he did were from inside prison, some of the greatest works. Okay, we talked about this before, I think, in another talk, you know, create data stashes online and offline. So have like your data stash, like your USB stick or something. And if it's offline, make sure it's off-premises as well. You might have a data server somewhere in a different country, which you can hire and you can store your data there. The way I would do this, I would never store the password anywhere. You know, Google, when you access it via Chrome or something, they always, you know, want to encourage you to store the password locally. Don't do this. Yeah, don't store your passwords locally, but always put them in manually. So that gives you a little bit of security that, you know, your data is going to be untouched. But you never know. You know, they might shut it down. They might take the data down. So it's always worthwhile to take your data and put it somewhere else as well. What data am I talking about? I'm talking about Bibles. I'm talking about books. I'm talking about debates, talks, videos, anything which you have created. If you've created a lot of videos, a lot of talks, as well, bearing in mind YouTube can shut you down tomorrow. There's no comeback. You can't, you know, go to a lawyer and say, please open it up again. The internet is still relatively free. And when all the big providers, which are very monopolized at the moment, when they start shutting down, there's still alternative methods. So you can have your own server and you can create your own little mini YouTube site where you put all your films on and you run them from the server itself. So that is possible, and that is something you can do. We talked about encrypted communications. Don't rely on apps which are out there. There's a lot of available stuff out there where you can encrypt your speech. And again, sometimes it's necessary to do this. Yeah. Apparently WhatsApp, when you talk, it's supposed to be encrypted, but they're the big players. And if apps get compromised, the bigger ones, they will be compromised first round, and they will have a means to try and decrypt whatever has been said. Okay. What else have we got to try and avoid being hacked? There are rootkits that can be installed on your computer. There are rootkit checkers, which you can use to try and see whether anything is on your computer. They're virus checkers, but they are never 100% reliable. So if your virus checker says everything is hunky-dory, doesn't mean it is. If your rootkit says I haven't found anything, your rootkit tracker, doesn't mean that you haven't got one on. But it's just like one layer of protection you can use. Another thing you can do is, and again, I talked about this at some stage before, is virtual machines. You can have a virtual machine on your USB stick. And again, it's a lot harder to find a USB stick than a laptop. And you can run everything from your USB stick. So you can get like a 64 gigabyte USB stick, put an operating system on. You can use something called like VMware Player, which allows you to create an operating system, a separate operating system. There's Virtual PC and a couple of other open source solutions as well that allow you to do this. And then again, all you do is you stick a USB. You've got a clean operating system. There's nothing on there. There's no email, no nothing, nothing at all. You take a USB stick, you stick it in. You can run everything from the USB stick. It's a little bit slower, but it does work if you've got plenty of memory. And again, you can, you know, do your comms, do your emails, do everything you have. And when you're done, you take a USB stick out and you hide it somewhere. So especially in countries where persecution is quite big, and I'm thinking of, you know, at the moment, countries like North Korea, possibly China as well, where Christianity is frowned upon, even though there's a limited amount of freedom, but this is pretty much frowned upon. Possibly Russia as well. Russia is now cutting down quite a bit. And Europe. Europe is following suit, yeah, because they want to have more control. They want to keep peace, which is natural, and there's nothing to say against this, but I think they're going about it the wrong way. You know, instead of dealing with the perpetrators, they're dealing with those who might agitate the perpetrators by making use of their freedom of speech, and I think that is where politics is going wrong. And anyway, that's one of the things you can do to try and protect yourself, yeah? to have just a squeaky clean PC, to have everything on your memory stick, and just always put the memory stick away, hide it somewhere, make it very difficult to find, and then there's one layer of protection you have. Okay, we are slowly coming to an end. I'm just looking at whether there's much more to do. There's an awful lot of stuff out there. When I used to teach hacking, about 80% of the tools I was dealing with were all perfectly legitimate tools. Yeah, there were IT or network administration tools, but they could be used for hacking as well. It's a bit like your knife. You can, you know, cut your bread, butter your slice of bread. You know, cut up some meat, but you can also kill somebody with it. And this similar with hacking tools as well. A lot of hacking tools are actually perfectly legitimate tools, a bit like Google. There's nothing wrong with Google, but when you use this term Google hacking, it sounds really nasty, but all you do is you're just looking for particular stuff that's out there on the internet. And, you know, for information, which, again, is legitimate. There's nothing wrong with that. Right. Be careful about Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is an easy way to get into your local network. So just make sure you've got good passwords, long passwords. Make sure you don't leave your computer alone. It's very easy to install malware on your computer if it's alone. And I'm just trying to think, be social media aware. Make sure, you know, whatever you leave on there, it's not too derogative. It's very easy to say something and sort of in the heat of the moment to make a statement. But the problem is, you know, if you say it verbally, like in the olden days, it goes out, it evaporates, and it's forgotten and nobody does it. If you do it on social media, you leave a footprint potentially there forever. Yeah? And it can be used at any stage in the future against you, you know, especially if legislation hardens up on certain things, on freedom of speech. Make sure you've got hardened accounts, you know, that the passwords are pretty tough and hard. And I think I'm through with it. I could obviously talk for ages on this, but we're going to see, you know, if you're interested, let me know and we'll pick up this subject a little bit further. The thing is, just be careful when you go online. It's an amazing opportunity to reach out with the gospel and to preach the gospel into areas which are completely closed. And it's an opportunity we've never had before, in generations before. So you can reach the whole globe using this technology and even using different languages and so on. But it's also a great danger as, you know, the powers to be get nervous about this whole thing. They don't like this. They don't have the monopoly of information anymore like they used to from the 1930s onwards. So they want to know, the powers to be want to go in and take it away from us, yeah. And that's a trend that's been seen. And you can make an argument, it's perfectly reasonable. They just want to sanitize it, and they want to, you know, make sure that nothing bad happens. But on the other side, it seems that there's also an attack on freedom of speech, yeah, which is getting more and more. There's only a certain framework where you can move in and what you can say. You leave this framework, and you make yourself liable to prosecution, and that's how they shut you down. And that's what's happened in the past as well with various regimes in the last century, and you know, even today in this century, that there's your little framework and that's what you can do. Go out of it and you're in trouble. Okay, God bless. Lord, we just want to pray, Father, for the internet. We pray for the freedom of the net, that you will guarantee us the freedom a little bit longer, and that you will allow us to preach the gospel to the ends of the world. So we pray, Lord, that you will raise up people who take up the challenge and who will be missionaries using the technology that's available today to the ends of the world, to the last of the 230 nations that we have. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.